If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them again to Exodus 20. You're going to hear that a lot over the next several weeks. If you've been with us, you know that we're in the middle of a series titled OSX Commandments, the operating system for the Christian life. And in this series, each week, we're just taking time to walk through each of the Ten Commandments. And as we've been walking through these Ten Commandments, we've been discovering that they aren't at all what the world tries to tell us they are, right? The world says that these commands are just rules and regulations that make life boring and miserable. But as we've been walking through this, I think we've been discovering quite the opposite. We've been discovering that these commands can actually prevent our lives from being miserable when we learn to walk them out and live them out. You see, God gave them to us because He loves us. And He actually wants to protect us and keep us from going down roads that will ultimately bring hurt and pain and misery to our lives. That's what these commandments are about. And 2 weeks ago, we started with the first commandment. If you were here, "You shall have no other gods before me." And as we talked about that commandment, we talked about the fact that God wants to be number one in our lives. And the reason is because He loves us and He knows that there isn't anyone or anything that can care for us the way He can. And so He wants to be number one so that He can care for us in the way that He created us to be cared for. Then last week, we talked about the second commandment that says, "You shall not make for yourself any idols or images." And we talked about how we create in our own mind these idols or images of who or what we want God to be. And in doing so, we end up putting God into a box. And we limit who He is and we limit what God is capable of because of these images that we create of who He is. Well, this week we're going to take a look at the third commandment. And it's found in verse 7 of Exodus. So we're going to read chapter 20, verse 7 this morning. But I'm actually going to put it up on the screen because I'm going to read it to you in the New American Standard Version. And the reason is it reads the same in both. But in the NIV, it takes a couple words and groups them together. And so it made it harder for me in kind of breaking it up for you later. And so I thought this one's just easier. I can show you specific words and show how it breaks up. And so that's why I chose the New American Standard. So I put it up on the screen this morning because some of you might not have New American Standard and want to follow along with it. So this is how it reads. Exodus 20, verse 7. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Now, many people try to say that names aren't that big of a deal. But here's the question, do we really believe that? In Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, Romeo asked the question, what's in a name, right? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo here would have us believe that names are nothing other than words without meaning. That a name really means nothing. Is he right? I don't believe so, all right? When we hear a familiar name, any familiar name, thoughts and emotions immediately enter our minds, don't they? When we hear a name, there's different emotions and thoughts that go through us. I want to show you what I mean this morning, okay? I'm going to put a name up on the screen, and we're just going to see. So I'm going to start with this first name, okay? Thoughts may, okay, well, I heard Oprah Winfrey, all right? That's, you know, you just put one name up and you automatically go to something specific, right? Oprah Winfrey. And for some of you, that may bring thoughts that are good. For some of you, that may bring thoughts that are bad, okay? Names have different ways that they affect us. Different thoughts or emotions may come to your mind as you see those names, right? And I'm not going to have you confess here and which direction you go this morning with the name Oprah, all right? I won't do that. How about this next name? You know, what do we go to? I mean, the younger generation's like, Elvis? What is that? You know, like, do you mean Elf for the movie Elf? What are you saying there? Elvis, for some of us, the king of rock and roll, right? You know, we have these thoughts when we see that name. Some may be good or bad. Some of you may have seen his early years and loved, and some of you may have watched the end of his life. And so what thoughts come into your mind with his name, it's different. But that name, when you see it, there's emotions that come in, right? Here's another one. How about this one? Now, who do you go to? Michael Jordan, right? Most people, go to Michael Jordan. I go to Michael Jordan. And for me, I can brag a little bit here because I was a huge Michael Jordan fan before anybody else was a Michael Jordan fan, okay? I had a buddy that was from North Carolina, and for whatever reason, you know, back in the day, the Ducks weren't all that to say about whether basketball or football. And for whatever reason, I was a huge Michigan fan when it came to football in college besides the Ducks. And I was a huge North Carolina Tar Heels fan when it came to basketball. And when I was in fourth grade, 1982, okay, I won a quarter from a seventh grader, okay, which was pretty big as a fourth grader. I had this seventh grader. I won a quarter from him betting on the NCAA championship game, okay? Now, I don't do that anymore. I don't bet anymore. But I won a quarter, and I thought I was big, but it was Michael Jordan, okay? I can tell you, Jimmy Black, Matt Doherty, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, and James Worthy, the starting five from North Carolina in 1982 in the NCAA championships. So I loved this name. I liked this name back then when they beat Patrick Ewing of Georgetown, which was awesome. But it was Michael Jordan who hit the winning shot that put them ahead to eventually win the game. And so for me, it rings those emotions. I go back to fourth grade and just that feeling of remembering that moment and that game that was won. And so names, they evoke these emotions, right? How about this name? This one's a tougher one. It's maybe a reverse thing, right? You know, you think of specific things and these thoughts come through your mind. And you know immediately, right? Osama bin Laden, that's where we go, right? We think of that. You see, and the reason I show you these names is to kind of prove my point and what I believe. Names are powerful. They evoke certain emotions. And I think it's because those names represent something to us, you know? Whether positive or negative, we associate those names with specific thoughts or memories, right? That last name, you know, we immediately go to 9/11. We immediately go to the tragedy and those difficulties. And so names really can bring back memories. Now, my wife will tell you, names were important to me, especially when it came to naming our kids. When she would present a name, here's the thing, it would first have to pass what I would call the tease test, okay? And I'm not joking here, all right? I would literally see how many ways I could make fun of that name. When she would bring me a name, I would like think of all the ways that they could be teased in school, that a kid could use that name in the wrong way, and I would be like, oh, you mean like da-da-da-da-da? I won't say any of those names because I don't want, it could be your name, and I don't want to embarrass you, all right? Or give anybody fuel on how to tease you, okay? But I literally would throw out these things. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, oh, yeah, man. But, you know, and I'd throw out these names. And so it had to pass the tease test for me at first. And then if it was a name of someone that I grew up with that I didn't like, that name was out, right? I mean, isn't it funny how there are certain names that we like or dislike because who we know with that name, right? You know, oh, there was a girl in my second grade class. Oh, I couldn't stand her. I would never name my girl that, right? Or there's this boy, he was so cute. I would name my son that, you know, whatever it was. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if a girl was saying that, you know, the different reasons or thoughts, all right? That sounded kind of weird coming out of my mouth there. But isn't it true how names, the way that we experience those names, they mean a lot to us. Good or bad. Now, many people know that I'm a huge Toby Mac fan. I have followed Toby Mac since 1988 when they first started as a band, and I loved them. And, like, Toby was, like, my hero. And so many people think that that's the reason my son is named Toby, because of my craze for Toby Mac. And that's something I've had to work on. Talk about idols and things that we, you know, worship. But I got to tell you, that's not the reason that we named our son Toby. Stacy and I really prayed about our kids' names. We wanted names that meant something. And so it was interesting when we first started trying to have kids and start walking through that process. All right, I think it's time. We'll start moving in that direction. Stacy was so excited because I was holding off for a while. You know, this was about 2 years into our marriage. She's like, come on. And I'm like, all right, we can begin to try to have kids and go down that road. And so Stacy was so excited. She actually found this baby name book, the name book. It's got names and it's actually got scriptures for the names. We start talking about, you know, what name will we name our kids and stuff. And so, of course, I had to look up the name Toby, right? Because I liked Toby. I liked that name. I liked everything about it. And so I had her look up the name Toby. And when she looked up the name, she said, "You're not going to believe what the scripture is." The scripture was Matthew 5:16, which is kind of our life verse. It's become our verse. It was a verse for our youth group. It has become our life verse that says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven." That was our life verse. And when she said that, I told her, I said, "We're going to have a boy. And we're going to name him Toby." Now, this is 6 years before we ever had kids, okay? We're just looking at these baby name books. And I said, we're going to have a son. We're going to name him Toby. Well, it was at this very same time, very same day, we've got the name book. We're going through the book. And we begin to look up girls' names. And after looking up a few different girls' names, we finally looked up the name Emily, which is actually our daughter's full name. It's Emily. We call her Emma for short. We spelled it E-M-M-A-L-E-I-G-H so that we could shorten it to Emma. So, but her name is Emily. And so Stacy begins to look up, you know, she's looking up different names. And all of a sudden she's like, "Oh, you're not going to believe the scripture for Matthew, or for Emily." I just gave it away. "You're not going to believe the scripture for Emily. It's Matthew 5:16. And it's really interesting because in that moment I said to her, "We're going to have a boy first, and we're going to name him Toby. We're going to have a girl second, and we're going to name her Emily." Now, there was something in me that I knew in that moment. God spoke to me their names, and we knew it. Now, Stacy wasn't fully convinced completely that moment. She's like, "Okay, whatever, just because of that moment, you know." But I'm like, no, we're going to have a boy, and his name's going to be Toby, and we're going to have a girl, and her name's going to be Emily. Now, knowing and believing this was what the Lord was going to do, we began to look deeper into their names. And so Toby actually means the Lord is good, or God is good, right? Which is funny because we say that here in our church, right? We say God is good and all the time. Well, I used to say that in our youth group. We would say that to our youth. And so that meaning, God is good, meant so much to us. And here's the thing. It's a testament of the truth of our son, Toby. You see, we tried for 6 years to have kids, and it was hard. It was a difficult road of going down that. We just, you know, you just thought, "Oh, we're going to have kids, and it's just going to happen." And we had friends that did. "Oh, we're going to have kids," and they had kids right away. For us, it was a difficulty. We tried, and no kids. And, you know, people are saying, "You know how that happens, right?" You know, or, you know, and so anyway, sorry, that was bad. But we're like, I know how it happens, and we're trying. It's just not happening. And so, you know, 6 years went by. And even through that, you know, a miscarriage and difficult times. But when I finally got to, as a matter of fact, the doctor let me actually deliver the baby. And so when Toby came out, and when I had him in my hands, and then we got him cleaned off, and when I presented him to our families, and I said, "I get to introduce you to Toby Hollis Hausler. His middle name is after my dad's." We knew God is good. In the midst of the weights and the struggles and the challenges and difficulties, God had fulfilled a promise that he gave us 6 years earlier, that God was good. And Toby himself, Toby is a typical sixth grader, so I'm not going to sit here and say that he has no problems, he has no difficulties, that he's the perfect little kid. He's a sixth grader, you know, and like typical sixth graders, he messes up, he makes mistakes. But Toby's life epitomizes the reality that God is good. He lives out that in his life. And it wasn't by mistake that God gave him that name. And then Emily, her name, as we looked it up, it means industrious one. Now, I have to admit, at first I was like, industrious one? What does that even mean? You know, those are the thoughts that are going through my head. What does that mean? You know, when you look up industrious, you know, hardworking, diligent. And here's the thing. Again, now this was 8 years, almost 9 years before we had Emma that we were given this name. But as Emma was born and she began to grow up, we realized that Emma is hardworking. Emma is diligent in what she does. Emma is our little industrious one. God knew who she was going to be when He gave us that name for her. You see, names mean something to the Lord. In the Bible, names are important. They represent who someone is and even who someone is meant to be prophetically. Which is why God told Abraham, "You will no longer be called Abram," which means exalted father. He says, "Instead, you will be Abraham," which means father of multitudes, father of many, right? It was a prophetic name given to him. Jesus did the same thing to Peter in the New Testament. He said, "You will no longer be named Simon. Instead, you will be named Peter," which means rock, "because it's upon you that I will build my church." Names mean something. They mean something to the Lord. Especially His name, right? If other names mean something, don't you think His name means something? It's important. His name is to be sacred among His people. He tells us in this command, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, what does He mean by "take the name of the Lord in vain"? Well, I have a few thoughts that I want to share with you this morning on what I really believe this means. Now, I think the first one is the most obvious, the way most of us think about this commandment, and that's when we use the name of the Lord in a profane way. You know, we live in a time and a day where profanity is all around us, right? You can't hardly watch a movie, you know, go to an event somewhere, or even walk down the halls of a public school without hearing the Lord's name in vain. And really, the word profanity kind of explains it all. The definition of profane means to defile something that is holy or worthy of reverence. That's pretty powerful when you think about that. What that word, maybe you never even knew why it's called profane language, why it's called profanity. It's this image of taking something that's lofty and yanking it off its pedestal. You see, when we speak profanity towards someone, we're basically reducing them to something below us. We're tearing them down. So when we take the Lord's name in vain or speak His name in a profane way, we're making Him less than us. We're denying that He's holy. We're denying that He is God and worthy of reverence. And that's a serious offense, right? When we break this commandment in this way, it takes us back to the first commandment, right? If we're making Him less than us, it means He isn't number one anymore. He isn't the top. He isn't first. You see, one of the problems with living in a society that continues to allow its standards to slip and decline is realizing that God's standards don't. Did you catch that? The world's standards may continue to decline, but God's standard stays the same. And just because the world doesn't think using the name of the Lord in vain or doesn't think it's a big deal doesn't mean God doesn't think it is. To Him, it's a big deal. He gave us these commands for a reason, because He knows that when we devalue His name, we devalue Him, and we end up finding ourselves in those places that we don't want to be, wondering how we got here in the first place, experiencing the hurts and pains of the world that continues to fail us. So speaking the Lord's name in a profane way is one of the ways that we take His name in vain. But it's not the only way. Here's the thing. Many people think, well, I would never take the Lord's name in vain. This command isn't even an issue for me, right? There's a lot of people that believe. As a matter of fact, the statistics, and again, I found some old statistics. It was back from the early 2000s, but it said 60% of the people admitted that they take the Lord's name in vain, or said, "Yes, I have taken the Lord's name in vain." 60%. But I believe the real number is 100%. We've all taken His name in vain. There are ways that we use His name in vain, ways that I know all of us have been guilty of at times and may not even realize it. You see, this is where I wanted to break things down this morning. The Hebrew word used for vain in the original text is the word shav, okay? And that word means empty or worthless. So we aren't to use the Lord's name in any way that would render His name empty or worthless. But the reality is we do this more often than we may even think. And here's the thing, one of the ways we do this is in our prayers. Like, what? No, we do this in our prayers. Let me ask you a question. How many of you finish your prayer by saying, in Jesus' name, or in the name of Jesus? A lot of us do that. Why do we finish our prayers in this way? Do we know why we say this, or is it just, well, it's just what we do. I've heard everyone else do it, so that's how I do it. It's like we're kind of signing off, right? You know, over and out. 10-4, big buddy, in Jesus' name. For some of us, it's the way we do it, right? You just do it. But you see, the reason we say in Jesus' name is because we're saying that everything we just prayed, we believe in our hearts, is what Jesus would pray. It's what He would want. It's what He would pray if He was the one praying. Now, can we say that about all of our prayers? You see, spouting off a bunch of selfish desires and finishing it off with, in Jesus' name, is literally taking the Lord's name in vain. It's using His name in a way that's empty, in a way that's worthless. If we're going to pray in Jesus' name, we need to make sure our hearts are right, that our hearts are in the right place. Is this really what God would want? Is this really the way He would have me pray? Kind of brings a whole new perspective to this commandment, doesn't it? Makes us think, man, how many times have I just thrown out in Jesus' name and I've really been praying for my own selfish desires, things that I probably know aren't really what God wants. Who knew this commandment was as tough as it was? How many of us have taken this commandment to this level? I know I haven't. I'll be honest, studying this command has really challenged me to take a closer look at how I'm using the Lord's name. And here's the thing, I'm not finished yet this morning. I want to peel off one more layer to this command. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, the Hebrew word for the word take in this scripture is the word nasa. N-A-S-A, but it's pronounced Nasa, which means to lift up or to carry. Is that me? Or is that a car driving by? Wow, that is some serious bass going on out there. I thought we were getting some reverb. I'm like, am I getting some reverb here? I'm like, whoa, man, I don't know what car that was, but that was some serious bass. But again, the word Nasa, get back to where it was going, means to lift up or to carry. And so the emphasis of this commandment isn't just on speaking the name, but also on how we carry His name. And let me kind of explain what I mean here, unpack what I'm trying to say. And I think to do that, it's important that we first look at who these commandments were given to. Who were the Ten Commandments originally given to? Moses and who? The Israelites, right? They were given to the Israelites who were God's people. Now, here's something interesting I came across while I was studying this aspect. Okay? God didn't give these commands while they were still enslaved to the Egyptians. He didn't say, well, if you live by these Ten Commandments, then I will set you free. That's not what He said. He set them free before He gave them the commandments. You see, God's grace comes first. His grace comes first for our life. God saved them freely and unconditionally as an act of His love and His grace for His people. And it was after He saved them that he gave them the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments were not given to the world. They were given to God's people. The operating system for what? The Christian life. Not the life of the world. Only after God saves us by grace do we then carry His name. The people of Israel, they carried the name of God. Everyone knew who their God was, right? They feared. That's why Rahab turned. She knew the God of Israel. She wanted to serve the God of Israel. Everyone knew who their God was. And when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, we carry the name of Jesus. It's like putting on the jersey, you know? We carry the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:16 says this, "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." As Christians, we bear the name of Jesus. We carry that name with us wherever we go, right? Especially if we have the little fish on the back of our car. Seriously, right? We do. We carry that name of Jesus wherever we go. And here's the question. Are we carrying His name well? Or are we carrying it in vain? How much of our life looks like the life of Christ? And how much of our life looks like the world? Because when we look like the world, we're actually taking the Lord's name in vain. We're not carrying the name in the way that God's called us to. I know a lot of people have wondered why this commandment is the third commandment when you think of it in the context of how we started. But I realize they only wonder that because they fail to explore the depths of this command, right? This commandment is huge. And for me, it's brought more to light what the Word says in Revelation 3 about being hot or cold. What does it say in Revelation 3 about being hot or cold? It says, "I wish that you would be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, what? I will spit you out of my mouth." Think about this for a minute. This is a scary thought. Who are the ones that are lukewarm? It's the ones who claim to carry the name of Jesus, but they carry it in vain. They say, "I'm a Christian," but their life is living something completely different of the commands and the desires of God for our life. I didn't realize until I started studying this commandment that our family life verse, Matthew 5:16, it's the answer for the third commandment. "Let your light so shine that they may see His name that you're carrying, that it may glorify His name, that His name would be lifted up." Again, the Hebrew word for take is to carry or to lift up, right? So the opposite of taking His name in vain is carrying or lifting up His name in glory. It's bringing honor to His name, not disgrace. It's the mission that He's given all of us. It's the mission of our church. It's loving God and loving people in a way that draws them to the Lord, right? That draws them to His name, that extends His kingdom. So whether we're speaking His name or carrying His name, we have to do it in a way that glorifies Him. That's what this commandment is all about. And it's a challenging command. As I dove into this, I'm like, wow. How have I fallen short of the fact that I've taken the Lord's name in vain in so many ways? This is a challenging one. This is huge. Carrying the name of Jesus in the way that He's called us to carry it. We fall short of this. Now, here's the scary thing. It talks about the punishment that comes from not carrying, from taking His name in vain. And I really think this goes back to, if we're going to say we're Christians, we need to live the life of Christ. It's funny, this is off my notes, but this morning as I was just processing this, I went to the part in Matthew, I think it is, of the sheep and the goats. And the people are like, "What? What, God? I'm one of yours? I carried your name. You know, that's the thought here. It's like, I don't know you. You didn't care for me. You didn't do the things that I... You didn't live the life that I called you to live. And that's a scary thought as a pastor preaching the word. I want my sheep to get in. I don't want any goats, all right? I know my wife has this thing about goats lately. She really wants a goat. We live in the city. We can't have a goat. But I'm like, I don't want goats. I want sheep. I want people who carry the name of Jesus, all right? That's what it's about. If we're going to claim the name of Jesus upon our lives, God says, all right, you need to live it out and walk it out and be who you've called me to be. If you want to experience the life I have for you, a life beyond lives, a life of eternity, it means you must carry my name well. Now, does that mean we can't mess up or make mistakes? No. But it means realizing that we're striving to do our best, that we see when we make those mistakes and we do our best to fix them. Because there's a lot of people that we just live oblivious and think, oh, I can just do this and I'm not hurting anybody. But you are. You're taking the name of the Lord in vain, and it's hurting you more than anything. God's desire for our life is that we would live out the life that He's called us, that we would carry His name well. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, it's hard at times to really read Your Word because we live in a world that wants to pick and choose what they want to do. Oh, I'll accept this part, but I'm not going to accept this part. But Lord, You've called us as Christians. If we're going to accept the Word, we accept all of it, Lord. We have to live out and walk out all that it says, Lord, being who You've called us to be. We know we're not perfect. We know we're going to mess up at times, and through that we experience Your grace and hand upon our life. But Lord, You desire that we continue to strive to be who You've called us to be. Continue to strive to carry Your name in a way that exalts You, that lifts You up. That we do our best to live our lives in the way that Christ lived, not the way the world lives, Lord. Lord, we thank You for these commands that You've given us. You give them to us because You understand, Lord, what's going to happen if we don't walk out these commands, the hurts and the pains and the struggles and the difficulties that we're going to go through in life. And that ultimately, if we don't give our lives to You, Lord, the eternity that we're going to spend without You. You gave us these commands because You love us and You want to spend eternity with us. You want us to walk in Your ways, to live the life that You've called us to live, to experience, Lord, Your grace, Your mercy, Your wonderful hand upon our lives, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to bring honor to Your name. Help us not to use Your name in a way that's empty or worthless, but in a name that lifts, in a way that lifts Your name up, that glorifies You in all that we do, and where we delight in doing it, Lord Jesus. The commands weren't supposed to be this stuff that we drudge through, Lord. They were meant to be things that we delight in because we get to honor You, honor the God of this universe, show You our love. So we thank You and we praise You for this. Help us to walk it out. Speak to each of us where we're at today, Lord. Where are we in this place of how we carry Your name, how we speak Your name? Challenge us where we're at, Lord. And Lord, I just thank You that You are a God of baby steps. You don't demand in this moment that all of a sudden we completely be perfect. You just continue to give us little steps each and every day to keep moving closer and closer to You. Help us, Lord, in that walk, in that journey of becoming who You've called us to be. We thank You. We praise You for these things. We just lift them up to You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.